Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Representative France. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, before I read an invocation, I just thought I'd ask all of us to reflect a little bit on the last week and the hard weather we've all experienced. And I think we all know that across our state, Montanans of every age and sex were offering a helping hand, that there were walks shoveled and frozen cars started, meals delivered and calls made just to check in. And I'd ask that we think about that strong ethic of neighborliness as we move forward this week, and just how Montanans in hard times and in good times help out other Montanans. As I looked for an invocation, I came across this short prayer from Mother Teresa. People are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Speaker, 99 members are present. Representative Whiteman Pena is excused.
A quorum is present and the House is ready for business. Are there any introductions? Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce the pages for this week, starting with Micah Lindgren. He is a senior at Great Falls High. He was his junior class vice president and is involved in football and track. Outside of school, he enjoys shooting and riding. His future goals are to join the National Guard, earn a degree in criminal justice, and join the U.S. Marshals Service. Micah is sponsored this week by Representative Anderson. Welcome. Hunter Cromwell is a senior at Helena High School. He participates in varsity tennis, band, outdoors club, and is a mentor to freshman students through the LINC program. Hunter enjoys fixing vehicles, traveling, outdoor activities, and is active with his high school church leadership team. He is looking forward to seeing the legislative process up close this week. He is enrolled at Montana State University to pursue finance and entrepreneurship degrees, starting in the fall as a sophomore, thanks to the dual credit college courses offered to high school students. He is sponsored this week by Majority Leader Vinton. Welcome. Emma Peterson is a senior at Belgrade High School. She is working through the Alt School to complete her high school education in 2 years. She is involved in speech and debate, National Honor Society, and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Emma has been a counselor for children in foster care through the Royal Family Kids Program and is active in her youth group. She looks forward to learning the inner workings of state government this week and aspires to become a counselor for adolescents with a focus in foster care. She is sponsored this week by Representative Carlson. Welcome, Emma. Aaron Carlson is a junior at Manhattan High School. He has participated in football through school and also golf. He has also played baseball for approximately 100 years. Aaron is most interested in learning how bills are talked about on the House floor, and he is looking forward to serving as a page this week. He plans to attend a two-year community college in Montana and hopes to become a butcher or be part of the meat processing industry. He makes his mother very proud. And his sponsor is also Representative Carlson. Welcome, Pages.
Welcome to the House. Representative Matt Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I be off the record and out of the general for the purpose of an introduction?
So ordered.
Members of the committee, one of our hardworking sergeant-at-arms, Mr. Brown, has his fan club here today, his wife, Laura Brown, and his granddaughters, Quincy and Kenley Higgins.
Welcome to the House. Representative Abbott.
Mr. Speaker, may I be off the record and out of the journal for the purposes of an introduction?
So ordered.
Mr. Speaker, members, I'm thrilled today to welcome back to the building former Representative Barbara Bissett.
Welcome to the House. Majority Leader Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I be off the record and out of the journal for an introduction, please?
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, in addition to having the pleasure of sponsoring wonderful Page this week, I have his equally wonderful parents visiting us today from East Helena, Scott and Tana Cromwell.
Welcome to the House. Representative Lear.
Mr. Speaker, I request to be off the journal and out of the record for the purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
Members of the House, I'd like to introduce our superintendent of schools from Savage, Martha Potter. She made roughly a 510-mile journey here in the cold. So anyway, Martha Potter.
Welcome to the House. Representative Caleb Hinkle.
Mr. Speaker, I wish to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
I'd like to introduce a new friend of mine who traveled down quite a ways to come to a hearing today. His name is Bill Myers, and just wanted to welcome him.
Welcome to the House. Order of business number one, communications and petitions.
Mr. Speaker, we are committed on legislative administration. Having examined the daily journals for the 11th through 15th legislative days, find the same to be correct. Signed, Representative Jedediah Hinkle, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, we are committee on judiciary. Recommend that House Bill 257 do pass as amended. Senate Bill 114 be concurred in as amended. Signed, Representative Barry Escher, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number three, reports of select committees.
Signed, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number four, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the filing Senate bills were on this day read through several times in past title and history agreed to and are herewith transmitted to the House for concurrence. Senate Bill 105, Kornauer, 106, Sales, 156, Bennett, 169, Cuff. Sincerely, Marilyn Miller, Secretary of the Senate. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number five, messages from the Governor.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bills 404 through 416 are introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. All are posted. Mr. Speaker, Senate Bills 105, 106, 156, 169 have been read first time and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number seven, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
All those in favor say aye. All opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Representative Lenz, Chair of the Committee of the Whole for the day.
Members of the committee will please be in order. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration House Bill 20. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 20, introduced by Beard, a bill for an act entitled, an act permitting the Department of Transportation to provide grants for courtesy cars at municipal and state-owned airports to appropriate third parties, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Beard?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 20, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the body. It is my pleasure to present House Bill 20, which permits the Montana Department of Transportation to provide grants for courtesy cars at certain state-owned airports. This bill is at the department's request and affects constituents in my district who rely upon services provided at one of these state-owned airports. This bill outlines responsibilities and obligations of the assigned parties and extends this courtesy car program to qualified third-party entities. This bill has no fiscal impact to the state. I ask for a due pass. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on this bill? Representative Curdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. As one of Montana's longtime pilots who have used courtesy cars from Libby to Baker and from Glasgow to Anaconda, I really appreciate them being there. And I would appreciate wholeheartedly your support on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, would the representative please close on their bill. Representative has closed on their bill. I will. I do want to mention that members participating on Zoom, in order to vote, you must sign in using your RSA token. If we do not see a vote on the vote board, you will be recognized. Once recognized, you may unmute and voice your vote. The process will enable us to maintain decorum while addressing remote technical difficulties. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Beard that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 20, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will say aye. Those opposed, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted aye.
Has every member voted? Oh, geez. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye. One has voted no.
House Bill 20 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 23. What is your pleasure, Representative Beard?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 23, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the body. It is my pleasure to present the Senate amendments to House Bill 23 to revise the tax lien and tax deed process. These amendments are detailed on page 4 of the bill, section 2, sub 8, and are considered friendly. I ask for a due concur. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion on the amendments? Seeing no discussion, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor is closed. The question being for no further discussion. Oh, never mind. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Beard that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 23, it recommend the same be concurred in. All in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
Stuart Paraguay.
And Stuart, Representative Stuart Paraguay? Okay.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted aye.
Thank you. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 96 representatives have voted aye, 4 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 23 have passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration House Bill 259. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 259, introduced by Vinton, a bill for an act entitled, an act prohibiting a local government from requiring housing fees or the dedication of real property for the purposes of providing housing for specified income levels or sale prices, prohibiting zoning regulations that require housing fees or the dedication of real property for the purposes of providing housing or specified income levels or sale prices, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Vinton?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 259, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Vinton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 259 prohibits local governments either by ordinance or as conditions of approval on a subdivision-by-subdivision basis that a certain amount of new home construction be set aside for sale at a specified price point or income level, often permanently, or requiring payment in lieu of donation. This practice, often referred to as inclusionary zoning, is taking place in some of our communities despite the negative impact such an intrusive mandate has on the market, as well as cost shifting to other properties. What HB 259 does is quite simple and is laid out in Section 1 of the bill and repeated throughout. HB 259 prohibits local governments from requiring, either by ordinance or as conditions of approval of new development, that a certain amount of real estate be set aside for sale at a specified price point or income level, or requiring payment in lieu of donation. HB 259 in no way prevents local governments from incentivizing development of affordable housing or otherwise developing creative solution for housing needs in our state. I urge a do pass on House Bill 259.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I rise in support of this bill. When you do this to a developer and a contractor, you set up, especially for large subdivisions, that there's multiple lots, and you require that a certain percentage of those lots are at a price up to 20% below what you're charging for all the other lots, the risk is entirely to be assumed by the developer and or the contractor. Remember, the contractors in Montana average about 9% return. That's what we make on projects. So when you're running a huge development, you have a ton of variables that come into effect, number one being Montana's weather, because a lot of these projects take more than 1 year to build. So there's a lot of hidden costs that might not have been included in the bid. If you further shrink the amount of margins that we can have on these long-term projects, then you're going to risk taking developers making the choice not to invest in them. And Montana needs this type of investment. We need homes. There is a need for price for decent-priced homes, but like the good sponsor said, there's a market way to do this, not the heavy hand of local government. So I fully support this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Representative Fern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate what I just heard from my good friend from Kalispell, and I really appreciate the words from the majority leader on this. But I have to give a different analysis of this. I think, and forgive me for the hyperbole, that this is a bit of a mild assault on local control. And you just heard local control in the previous statement. We've spent a good deal of time, committee members, in this session looking at local control and its relationship, for example, with health departments. And one thing I've heard hearing these bills over and over again is that there is angst when elected officials can't make the final decision on important policy decisions. So let's go back and look at what's going on. In my community, I think one of two communities involved with inclusionary zoning, the Chamber of Commerce put a large group together. And over a 12 to 18 month period involving all sectors of our community, from business to building, again to the Chamber of Commerce, to government officials within our community. A decision was made with many hearings as to one part of an affordable housing strategy, and not the only one, that inclusionary zoning would be included, and that's just for the city limits. This is also occurring in Bozeman within the city limits. What is the business climate like in the Flathead, and I assume the same for Gallatin County? At this point, if you're a reputable tradesman or tradeswoman, if you're a reputable contractor, the only reason you're not working is that you don't want a job. There's ample work. As a matter of fact, there's a shortage around. If you don't want to do the inclusionary zoning, and I have great respect for developers, project developers, there is a risk involved in it. But when I look at Flathead County and I look at what's outside the city limits of Whitefish, I'm looking at Flathead County, I'm looking at Columbia Falls, I'm looking at Kalispell, I'm looking at Summers, I'm looking at Big Fork, I'm looking at Lakeside. There's lots of opportunities to develop without having to participate or develop within one of two communities statewide that have chosen through ample input and decision-making in their communities. So I think that what we're talking about and what is the most slippery slope to think about is when we limit local control in favor of state control. There is nothing illegal or unconstitutional about this type of inclusionary zoning. It is a slippery slope to look at having the heavy hands of the state lay their hands upon city or local government. I would ask you to think carefully about this, whether you like inclusionary zoning or not, but it's most important in this state, whether we're dealing with cities, towns, school districts, that we go by and abide by local control. Please think carefully and vote red.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Cortum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in opposition to this bill. I share the same concerns as my colleague to the north, so I'll speak directly to the issue instead. Everybody in this body knows that Montana is facing a growing affordable housing crisis. We've seen a few good ideas come out this session already, but it's obvious we have more work to do on this issue. The very least we can do on this issue is not make matters worse. In communities across the state, Montanans are being priced out. People who've grown up in these communities who want to stay and contribute to the growing economy are being forced to leave because they simply cannot find a place to live. Inclusionary zones are one of the few tools that local governments have to make any kind of headway on this issue. We have a responsibility to seriously address this problem. On that, everyone can agree. I hope that we can also agree that our minimum responsibility is to not make things even more difficult for communities struggling with housing and for Montanans just looking for a place to live. Vote no on House Bill 259. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Brewster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise to speak on the bill. Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, I spent a number of years in local government. And one of the frustrations I had over and over was that the solution always seemed to be applied to the fewest number of people to make it more palatable to the community. It was always a frustration to me. I think this is just another example. Affordable housing is a global problem. I mean, I've seen the community in Billings in years in the past aggregate property at the public's expense and then develop it or assist in development of it so that affordable housing could be built on the property they aggregated. My problem with this bill is you have a majority of what would be accomplished in this applied to one business, one type of work, and it's on just a very few people. And I continue not to support that, and I hope that you'll support this bill, too. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Thane.
Thank you, Chair, members of the body. I'll amend my comments because a number of the points have already been made. But a number of Montana communities face affordable housing crisis, and that includes workforce housing. And that's a significant barrier that those communities face with regard to economic development. As was referenced previously, we've heard several bills, either in committee or on the floor, that have sought to restrict local authority. And I would argue that we cannot, nor should we, be usurping local authority in situations such as this. And that's exactly what House Bill 259 intends to do. Local government operates in closest proximity to the people, and it's appropriate that local government conduct the hearings, hear public comment, and make decisions that are most appropriate for their specific circumstance. Remember also that these members of public bodies, whether it be county commissioners, city councilors, or city commission members, have been elected by the very same voters that have sent us here to Helena. And I believe firmly that we need to respect the authority of these local officials to solve the problem at the level closest to the community. Please, make those local officials accountable for the decisions they make. Please make sure that they have the opportunity to align their solutions with the local problems as they have come to understand them. And I urge you to please vote no on House Bill 259. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in opposition to this bill. There's no more oxymoronic term than affordable housing. By definition, housing is never affordable, but people do it because it's a necessity. And this bill is trying to prevent those who speak against this bill are advocating redistribution economics. And every time you engage in redistribution economics, what you're going to do is you're going to decrease the amount of housing that will result. And study after study proves and demonstrates that when you do this kind of thing, that what happens is that the price of housing increases rather than decreases, because we're using a simple economics demand and supply schedule. What you're going to do is move the supply schedule to the left. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I urge you to vote positive, vote green. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Buttrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll speak in support of the bill. Members, we've heard a lot about local control. I think if you look at the bill and read the bill, you're going to find in no way does this bill deny local control over the use of property or land use options. So what does the bill do? Well, one of the things the bill is going to do, as we've heard from prior testimony, a couple things can happen. Either you're going to cause a cost shift by the developer. The developer is going to have to take those values of those parcels where the value's been set by bureaucratic decision, and they're going to have to offset any losses on those parcels to the other parcels in that subdivision. Now, that's going to cause the developer pain. Either he's got to absorb it or cost shift it. It's going to cause pain to the people that ultimately are going to want to purchase those parcels, and it's going to cause pain to people who purchase the devalued price set parcels and then go want to better themselves, better their lives, sell the parcel, go somewhere new, and all of a sudden they're going to have to take the money that they've earned in the sale of that parcel and turn it back over to the government. So what we have now are local governments that are in essence devaluing private property. They're causing harm to the developers, harm to families that are trying to purchase those other lots, and harm to those that have already purchased those affordable priced lots and are trying to make money in selling them and move on to another location. Nothing in this bill stops any incentive by a local government to help provide affordable housing for those people that need it most. What's happening in these local governments is wrong. We need House Bill 259 to correct that, and I'd ask for a green light. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Dunwell.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I think to understand what's happening here, I think we just need to look at the list of the proponents and opponents. The list of the proponents were building industry, Flathead Building Industry, Southwest Building Association, real estate developers, Americans for Prosperity. And then you look at the list of opponents, representative from Bozeman and Missoula, somebody who is a developer and member of the Realtors Association and also a Whitefish City Council person, that inclusionary zoning has nothing to do with cost to developers. If it did, as a contractor developer, I wouldn't be in business. And so I think we just need to look at, something else, another opponent from Big Sky 55 Plus that represents Montana seniors and accessibility. Seniors are finding housing more and more affordable. Getting rid of inclusionary zoning hurts seniors and would take away their important choices. So with that, I oppose this bill, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? Representative Cheetah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in support of this bill. For those of us from the People's Republic of Missoula, you find that there are all kinds of, let's say, untoward decisions that are made by elected officials. We have a cacophony of voices at the city council level who basically parrot what they're told to say by the mayor. And what we're doing in this bill is preventing that group of individuals from telling private property owners, you cannot do what you want to with your land. And let me give you a pretty egregious example of how local control, or for those of us who had a very expansive Jesuit secondary education, the word subsidiarity, it's a great word, so you can look that one up today. I'll give you the definition. It means that the closest local control. The county commissioners in Missoula came up with a plan for one particular area in Missoula where I reside that said not more than one residence per 40 acres in that area. And there were individuals who had subdivided property and gotten permission to do that. But then when the Great Recession hit in 2008, they couldn't move forward. When they went ahead to move forward again, they were told they would have to go through the zoning process again, but they couldn't build more than one house on the acreage, and it was money they were leaving for their children. So this is not an example of local control doing its job. It's an example of local control usurping the rights of private property owners in the state of Montana in those venues where they want to implement this kind of control to tell a taxpayer, here's what you can and can't do. And if I were talking to my good friend in seat 93 back in Philadelphia, and I asked him a question about what would happen if somebody wanted a particular business to do something there, he would talk about Vinny and saying, you know, an extra $100 a month, probably keep your business open. So that's not what we want to see in these communities. We want to see open, fair utilization of property that we have. And anything that we do to strip a property owner of their fundamental right to do with their property what they wish, whether that is through taking money or taking property, is horribly unfair and unconstitutional. So I support this bill wholeheartedly. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to stand in support of this bill. These contractor impact fees, we call them, are generally levied against greedy, rich people in my county. And I just want to remind people that this is what happens when we're talking about local control has the right to do this. I'm a believer in local control, but you have to keep in mind that everyone is afforded equal protection. And when you talk about living in a democracy unfairly, because we do not, what that says is the majority can get together and take away the rights of the minority. So it's very easy in communities to take away the rights of builders or contractors or a certain industry because they don't have the vote. And so that's why I support this bill, because local control does not mean you get to vote off the island, basically, the person with the smaller voice, just because they are easy to pick on in the community. It's time that people who have their property taken are protected from those who wish to take it.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Vinton, would you close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, colleagues, for a good discussion today. I am especially gratified by the support that I've heard from all corners of the state on this bill. To summarize, House Bill 259 addresses what can occur when the entire burden of cost and compliance is forced upon a single industry. It doesn't deny a tool to address affordable housing. It takes away a weapon that has been proven damaging across the country and in those few locations that have already attempted to use it here in Montana. I urge a green vote. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Vinton that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 259, that it recommend the same do pass. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Stuart Baraguay? Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 65 representatives have voted aye, 35 have voted no.
House Bill 259 has passed the House. Members of the committee, you now have for your consideration House Bill 266. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 266, introduced by Homeland, a bill for an act entitled, an act revising license plate laws, mandating issuance of a certificate of waiver to applicants with vehicles that cannot display a front license plate, and amending section, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Homeland?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 266, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Homeland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I bring before you this day, House Bill 266. This is a bill that is a revising license plate laws. And it's really quite a simple bill because we've got a lot of people out there that actually have classic cars. And they are members of clubs that are really supporting this bill. So in section, if you look down on line 25 of your bill, it says they may display a single license plate firmly attached to the rear exterior of the custom vehicle. Below that, line 27, if a person is not able to comply with the requirement of a front license plate be displayed because of body construction of the motor vehicle, the person may submit to the Highway Patrol an application for a waiver along with a $25 inspection fee. A certificate of waiver shall, that's the big change, shall be issued upon inspection of the vehicle by a Highway Patrol officer. The certificate must be at all times be carried in the motor vehicle and must be displayed upon demand to a peace officer. Money collected from the inspection fee will be deposited in the highway revenue account in the state special revenue fund for the credit of the Department of Transportation. So what this really comes down to is that we've got a lot of people out there that have vehicles, many of them 25 model years and older, that did not have a bracket on the front of them to be able to put a license plate. And in order to do so, they would have to drill a hole in their bumper, thereby lessening the value of their vehicle. This is basically a taking of the value. I'd like to address a couple of things that were brought up in the committee so that we won't have to talk about them here. One of them is that people say, well, people never back in to rob a Quickway or 7-Eleven. That's true, but people that are driving these vehicles are not likely to be the ones that are going to be backing in to rob 7-Eleven or a Quickway. Next one was, you know, when a vehicle passes by a school bus when it's got its arm down, they can't read the license plate. The question I have is, how are you going to read the license plate on the front of the vehicle when that car has already gone past you? You could read it off the back, but you could not read it on the front. Like I said, many classic car clubs support this bill, and I do ask for a yes vote on House Bill 266.
Is there discussion on House Bill 266? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close on his bill? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Homeland that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 266, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted aye.
Every member has now voted. Has any member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 98 representatives have voted aye. 2 have voted no.
House Bill 266 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration House Bill 271. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 271, introduced by Marshall, a bill for an act entitled An Act Generally Revising Laws Related to County Roads, Clarifying the Procedure for Adopting a County Road, Amending Section, and Providing an Applicability Date. Mr. Chair?
What's your pleasure, Representative Marshall?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 271, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Marshall?
Mr. Chair, I'd also move to amend House Bill 271 and request that it be posted and deemed read. House Bill 271 Amendment HB 027-100-1001.
Thank you, Representative Marshall. So ordered. Representative Marshall.
Members of the body, this amendment simply strikes a couple of words that you'll see on page 2, line 6. It strikes out that is included and enters the word following plat, enters the words that is dedicated to public use. There was some concern over that wording. Also on page 3, line 3, it strikes out the word included. It also inserts dedicated to public use. Page 3, line 4, same thing. Strikes included, dedicated to public use. This kind of cleared up some negative feedback we got on this due to the wording. Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on the amendment? Seeing no discussion, would the sponsor of the amendment like to close? And the sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Marshall. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Are there absentee votes? Has every member voted?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 76 representatives have voted aye, 24 have voted no.
Amendment to House Bill 271 has passed the House. Further discussion on House Bill 271 as amended. Discussion on House Bill 271. Representative Dooling.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 271 be amended and request that amendment number HB 027-100-1002 be posted and deemed read.
So ordered. Representative Dooling.
Mr. Chair and members of the House, I bring this amendment to take out the new section on page 2, section 2, the applicability or retroactivity clause. As a person who has worked in the title industry for a number of years, a title report, you get those when you do a buy-sell. You also get one when you refinance your house. And there's four things that a title report shows. It shows the owner of record, shows a legal description, liens and judgments, and one of the most important things is the insurable access to the property. With this retroactivity clause in the bill as it is now, it will set up three words that nobody wants to see: lack of access. So if we keep this bill and we do not remove the retroactive section, it does five things to the bill. It will slow down the real estate market. Buyers and lenders will not accept a policy that states lack of access. This is important coverage. It will increase title insurance rates, impacting our customers. It will new subdivisions dedicating public roads will need to have the approval of the commission. And one of the main problems, it calls into question all platted roads were created by plat and not approved by the county commissioners. And number 5, property owners have relied on platted roads as being approved by the county and all benefits that come with a county road. So by just taking out this section, it will alleviate a lot of problems for both the real estate and the title insurance industries. And I please request that you support this amendment. Thank you.
Is there a discussion on the amendment? Any further? Representative Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I consider this a friendly amendment, so go green.
Further discussion on the amendment? There, seeing none, the question now arises on the amendment of Representative Dooling. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Amendment to House Bill 271 has passed the House. Discussion on House Bill 271 as amended. Any further discussion on 271 as amended? Seeing none, Representative Marshall, would you like to close on your bill? Representative Marshall has closed on his bill. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Marshall that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 271, it recommend the same do pass. All those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 66 representatives have voted aye, 34 have voted no.
House Bill 271 has passed second reading. Members of the committee have for your consideration House Bill 273. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 273, introduced by Skies, a bill for an act entitled, an act repealing the laws authorizing the people of the state of Montana through statewide vote to approve or reject a proposed nuclear power facility certified under the Montana Major Facility Siting Act, amending sections, repealing sections, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
Representative Skies.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 273, it recommend the same do pass. Mr. Chair.
Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, this bill does one thing and one thing only. Back in 1978, the citizens of Montana passed a referendum that basically said in order to license a nuclear power plant in Montana, it had to go to a voter's initiative. If you look at page 21, line 10, number 4, sub 4 of 752201 is the gist of the bill, what we're removing. If the department decides to issue a certificate for a nuclear facility, it shall report the recommendation to the applicant and may not issue the certificate until the recommendation is approved by a majority of the voters in a statewide election called by initiative or referendum according to the laws of the state. So if you understand that, you basically, if you want to bring a nuclear power plant to Montana, you have to go through all the hoops, and then right before you get your permit, you got to put it on the ballot. Now, my concern is this. We've just seen 4 or 5 years of legacy media and their attention to the truth. This issue is something that I think the legacy media and some bad players could totally turn on its head, show pictures of three-headed cows, bring us images of Fukushima, and everybody in Montana would panic thinking that's the type of nuclear power we want to build. That's not what I'm doing with this bill at all. If you notice, 2 generations ago, Montana said that we should do this. Technology today is leaps and bounds above what we've done back in those days. If you Google liquid thorium reactor and molten salt, you'll find out exactly what we could do in Montana. These little micro nukes we could set up all along the giant KV line we have out of Colstrip, and Montana could once again become a power generator. I'm an all of the above kind of power guy. And when we get this on the books and take this away, what happens? How do we develop it from that point? Well, there's a good senator over in the Senate who's bringing a study bill to determine just this. I'm not taking away from the citizens their right to determine how this looks. I'm taking it off the ballot so that bad players can't sway 51% of Montana with what I think is not truths. You, since I won't be here next cycle, will determine exactly what these nuclear power plants look like, what the Siting Act looks like when it deals with it, what the bonding is required to build it. All of these things this chamber will determine next cycle. And if there is a more deliberative body than this, I don't know where it is, maybe in the Senate, but you have each one of us represents 10,000 people, and each one of us have a majority of Montanans telling us, even those that aren't in our district, exactly how they feel. So we're not taking away from the good citizens of Montana anything. What we're doing is opening the door for the all of the above power. And one last thing, nuclear power is actually carbon free. I suggest that we vote green on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Skies. discussion on this bill? Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. I just rise to support the bill and say 58 power plants in the United States of America, 98 active commercial reactors, states from California to Washington to Michigan to New York to Pennsylvania to Virginia. People have certainly said that Washington, D.C. is a wasteland, but it's not because of the reactors either in Virginia or Pennsylvania. Nuclear power is completely safe. And for folks who recognize that in the next 50 years we're going to have a whole lot of electric cars over on the streets, that's going to take a lot of electricity. That electricity is not going to be reached the current way that we can get electricity done. So, whether it's thorium reactors, whether it's purely molten salt reactors, this technology, there's a lot of great gains here, and this is something that we should certainly be looking at. And that's not something that you ship over to voters and expect them to understand in the span of, 40 days or something while both sides are pumping money at them in the form of, that's just bad practice. So this is an easy green, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion, Representative Hayman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in strong opposition to this bill. In 1978, voters spoke clearly that they wanted a voice in any potential development of nuclear power in this state when they approved an initiative by 65%. The initiative stated that any proposed nuclear power plant would have to be approved by the voters. Certainly, as proponents have pointed out, a lot has changed since 1978 in the nuclear industry, but that is not the point. The point is voters have spoken. We, as people elected by those same voters, should not overturn their decision without a clear, compelling, and time-sensitive reason. This bill does not meet that test. There is no company knocking at Montana's door asking to build a nuclear power plant. Thus, there is no rush to do a bill like this. In this case, we have the luxury of time. I don't pretend to know what voters think of nuclear power, but we should ask them. Instead of passing this bill, we should vote it down and ask the sponsor to bring us another bill that puts the question back to the voters. If the voters change their mind and give the state the authority to approve nuclear power plants, so be it. We will live with that decision. If the voters reaffirm their 1978 position, we in state government will have a roadmap for how to treat nuclear power in the future. We hear a lot about takings on the floor of this House. This is a taking, plain and simple. You're taking the rights of the Montana voters to weigh in on a huge, huge issue for the state of Montana's energy. Please vote red.
Further discussion, Representative Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill. I'm going to be voting no on this bill. I believe if we want to consider nuclear energy in Montana, we can start with a study, we can consider the latest technology, and we can learn the latest statistics. We can present this information to voters and let them take a vote. And I think we can trust our voters to learn about their energy options and make that call. And you never know, they might surprise us. So I'm going to be voting no on this bill, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Cortum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in opposition to this bill. Here's a quote from someone involved in the original law. Many Montana residents helped in the drafting the law, the ballot title, collecting the nearly 11,000 signatures to qualify for the ballot and the passage of I-180 ballot initiative. It was Montana farmers, ranchers, students, business persons, and homemakers that wrote this law, collected the signatures, and voted it into law. Montanans believe that ordinary Montana voters want the last word on anything that affects them, their property, or their well-being, not those that profit. End quote. Only 29% of Americans view nuclear energy favorably. 49% view it unfavorably. Right now, Montanans can choose whether or not we build new nuclear facilities. But given the data, if a vote was held today, we can say that they would likely vote against it. If we as a legislative body know the people of Montana would vote against, but then pass a law removing the citizens' right to that decision, we are going down a dark path. A certain famous American document states that we are endowed with certain rights, and to secure those rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. This law would remove the consent of the governed. This is not a Montana value. Vote no. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? Representative Knave.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to the bill. I'm going to vote in favor of this bill for a couple of reasons. I think this is going to give the people of Montana the choice of all of the above power that we really need. And all of the people who come here from California with their Priuses will be able to keep their batteries going. In case you haven't noticed, California has been getting rid of their nuclear power, and they're about to close or have just closed their last nuclear power plant at Diablo Canyon. And if you were also paying attention, you notice that they're having rolling blackouts and all kinds of fun things going on there with the power that they've got left. And my last point is that there is a hue and cry in this chamber about voters in 1978 who wanted this to be on the ballot. And I'm here to say that the voters in 1978 didn't vote for this body. And I think it's disingenuous to claim that they did. And I am unmoved by the argument, listen to the voters, by a body that couldn't wait to overturn what the voters had to say when it came to Medicaid expansion. So I think that I would drop that argument as well. I urge that you vote for this bill.
Further discussion, Representative Curl Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a quick question for the sponsor.
Representative Skies, do you yield?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I was just wondering, on page 22, under the repealers, you have on line 5, a repeal for the annual review of evacuation and emergency medical aid plans. Would this repeal in our code all annual reviews of the evacuation and emergency medical aid plans for any nuclear facility that would be built?
Mr. Chair, Representative, no.
Further discussion, Representative Beattie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I guess if you'd look at this in the overall context of energy policy in this country, it's safe to say that we're rapidly moving away from use of fossil fuels for providing energy to support our economy. And as we rapidly move away from fossil fuels, it's also a fact that the green alternatives are not ready for prime time. Perhaps at some time or another they'll get there, but at this point, if we want to remain and have a standard of living that's that you would expect in a modern society, we need to have something fill the gap as we move towards other green alternatives. Nuclear power is a green alternative that is safe and cost-effective and ready for prime time. This is a good bill. Vote green.
Further discussion? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close on his bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, we've heard that, and I really appreciate what the representative said about citizens' initiatives. I just want to remind everybody to watch the hearing that we talked about this bill. What started this bill in my mind was 2011 in state administration when a good representative bought House Bill 310. House Bill 310 said, in simple language, ballot initiatives have to be a yes or a no. So the language in the initiative has to be, obviously, if I'm for it, I vote yes. If I'm against it, I vote no. Great bill. I love that bill. In the testimony of that bill, one of the advocates that brought the nuclear power ban came before the House and the Senate. And I have both of those audios. If you'd like to listen to them, let me know in an email and I'll send them to you. And she said at the end of that, they had so much money left over, or enough money left over, to do a strong, aggressive poll and ask Montanans why they voted for the initiative. You know what the overwhelming response was? We didn't understand the language on the initiative, so we weren't sure what we were exactly voting for. So we're going to hang our hat on this, on 1978, two generations ago, when they thought disco was good music, that this was what they wanted. Sorry about the disco-loving folks. Montana, this is green power. It's always on, doesn't need the sun, doesn't need the wind. In the energy market in which we compete, everybody is a consumer. We build 5, 6, 8, 10 of these along that KVW line. Montana is the only energy exporter. This is a smart bill for Montana. This is a great bill for jobs. This is a great energy bill. So thank you so much for your time, and I hope that everyone votes green.
The question now rises upon the motion of Representative Skies that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 273, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 68 representatives have voted aye. 32 have voted no.
House Bill 273 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have for your consideration House Bill 281. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 281, introduced by Gunderson, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising bicycle laws, revising the definition of electric bicycle, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair?
What is your pleasure, Representative Gunderson?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 281, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Gunderson.
Members of the body, HB 281 recognizes low-speed electric bicycles as bicycles in Montana. If passed, this law would allow Montanans the ability to take advantage of the benefits that electric bicycles offer and clean up significant confusion around where these bicycles may be ridden. Electric bicycles are a great form of transportation and recreation for those of us who wish to continue riding a bike but who are physically limited to do so for one reason or another. HB 281 will enable Montanans to use electric bikes, much like regular bicycles. In Montana, electric bicycles lack a specific vehicle classification, and it is unclear how they are regulated. E-bikes are not mopeds, scooters, or motorcycles. The goal of HB 281 is to clearly define electric bicycles and provide clear rules with respect to how they must be equipped and operated, and clear enforcement guidelines for public safety officials consistent with 43 other states that have incorporated electric bicycles into their traffic codes, 28 of which have implemented laws like this one that establish three classes of electric bicycles in their traffic code. The classification system that is foundation of HB 281 aligns Montana law with the three main forms of product that are currently on the marketplace and with the federal definitions of an electric bicycle, and create consistent standards and rules for these devices. This bill will codify the bike industry's adopted three classes of electric bicycles and regulate them based on their maximum assisted speed, and notice I used the word assisted, require electric bicycle manufacturers to affix a label to each electric bike identifying its class, require every electric bicycle manufacturer to certify that it complies with applicable federal equipment and manufacturing requirements, ensure the same rules of the road would apply to both e-bikes and human-powered bicycles when it comes to speed, proper passing, following local traffic laws, obeying posted speed limits, and other state and local ordinances. There'll be a wattage cap to power. And just to really point out, assist stops when human pedaling stops. Permitting electric bicycles where traditional bikes are allowed through this modern regulatory structure is a fair and sensible choice. Electric bicycles are similar to bicycles in the way they are made, sold, and used, and are simply bicycles with a boost. The only difference is that electric bicycles carry the unique ability to encourage more people to get out and ride, regardless of age or physical or cognitive ability. Mr. Chair.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Representative Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank the sponsor for bringing this. I think it's an important bill, but I'm going to be voting against it, and I want to bring your attention to primarily why. I think that there's really obviously some important potential consequences for our public lands to get this right, and so I appreciate us having the opportunity to consider it. What I want to bring to the body's attention is if you look on starting page 18, when you look at the pieces that are amended into this bill in committee, so you're going to see significant sections that are in all caps. And to bring to your attention that this happened on the same day that the bill was heard, and that the amendment that was amended in committee came in front of the committee. Really, it wasn't even available online until very shortly before that committee met. And so the consequence of that, I believe, is that members of the public and people who understand these issues better than even I would pretend I do really did not have time to digest this. And I think it probably needs some significant attention and fair process to be able to really consider. So I understand that's a problem we can't solve here today. And I, again, appreciate the sponsor bringing it because I do think it's an important piece for us to consider, but I am really regretful that I think that we are looking at something that just did not have enough public process to be assured that it won't cause more problems. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I rise in support of this bill. This really has had significant time to digest and is really a good bill that ultimately allows for those people who maybe need a little bit more help to be able to do that. It allows for opportunities to be able to ultimately ride in places that you would be able to ride an ordinary bicycle. Even me, as a purist who typically rides just without any assisted power, this is a good bill and one that should get a green light. So thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to see if the sponsor will rise for a question.
Representative Gunderson, do you yield?
I do. Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative Sponsor, to follow up on what the good representative to my right asked about the amendments, did that happen to have anything to do with two very similar bills that we wanted to, at the last minute, merge together so we didn't have to have two hearings on very similar bills?
And thank you for the question, Representative from Yellowstone and Muscle Shell. You're absolutely correct. There were two bills that were merged together that were very, very similar. And the language that the good representative from Livingston is referencing was left out inadvertently while that transition was being made. But we did bring that bill, what you're seeing on your desk, to the committee, and we had a very good committee hearing on it.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, speak to the bill.
Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, that other bill was my bill. At the last minute, just happened to be roommates with this great representative that is sponsoring this bill. And we were talking and said, oh, that sounds like my bill. And we had our two parties get together, and there was only small changes, differences in the two. And we did, if I remember correctly, were allowed to speak about the amendment in the committee. So I think it's a great bill. I also need to just say that Harley is getting ready to come out with one of these bicycles, so I may just wanted to mention that.
Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor like to close on this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In closing, it looks like we didn't get too wrapped up around the axle on this bill. Opposition was light from folks that were mostly misinformed. E-bikes are an answer to the most basic and common goal of keeping motorized vehicles off of public lands. Electric power is silent, creates no pollution. and answers that want to stop combustible engines from being used in the backcountry, trails, and on roads. The classes of e-bikes allowed in the backcountry can't damage the land, and I should say on any trail or road. The classes of e-bikes answer a lot of those questions about power, wattage, speed, throttle control or no throttle control. And they answer for many of us that have disabilities to ride in areas that we have longed to access. And I will close. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Gunderson that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 281, it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 75 representatives have voted aye, 25 have voted no.
House Bill 281 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, have before your consideration House Joint Resolution 5. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, House Joint Resolution 5, introduced by Cheetah, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana on the federal taxation of guns.
What's your pleasure, Representative Cheetah?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Joint Resolution 5, I recommend the same do pass.
Representative Cheetah.
Just this past Sunday, Democrat President Joe Biden called on Congress to clamp down Americans' constitutionally protected Second Amendment rights. He's demanding gun bans and new laws, some of which that would allow people to sue gun manufacturers. This particular bill is a request by our congressional delegation that if new taxes, we're not talking about those that fund Pittman Robertson dollars, and I want to make sure that the good chair understood that, because there's always a question at our house about Pittman Robertson dollars. So it does not affect those. And the whereas clause just say that since the president is promoting taxation of privately owned guns, and that the Second Amendment states the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And the third whereas defines the word infringement. And the fourth just talks about, as duly elected representative of Montana, we believe that taxation is an unconstitutional infringement of our right to keep and bear arms. So given the fact that we have a president calling to ban assault weapons and using the term weapons of war on our streets is incendiary and inflammatory, because the last time I looked, and I could check with some of our former military personnel here, automatic weapons that can be scaled back to semi-automatic purpose are what are used. So what I want to see is a healthy, robust exchange on this, because the right described or enumerated in the Second Amendment allows us to protect life, liberty, and property or the pursuit of happiness. So I request a due pass on House Joint Resolution 5.
Is there a discussion? Representative France.
Mr. Chair, I rise in opposition to this resolution. I appreciate we are having a long and vigorous, sometimes polarizing debate on guns and types of guns. I rise to oppose this resolution in part because over the last 40 years, there have been no new taxes proposed by Democrats or Republicans, and I read the plain language of this resolution to say such a tax would be unconstitutional. And at that point, we do run into Pittman Robertson, which is a tax, an 11% excise tax on guns and ammunition that was passed in the 1930s. It was passed with really the instigation of hunters and conservationists around the country that sought to use that tax for conservation purposes. Over the last, since Pittman Robertson was passed in 1936, over, I'm just looking for my figure here, $18 billion has come to state fish and wildlife agencies to support conservation programs. The approach of using guns and ammo as a vehicle for promoting and providing for conservation funding was so successful that in the 1950s, the Congress passed the Dingell-Johnson Act, which extended the excise tax to fishing equipment. And so any suggestion that these taxes aren't constitutional, I think, has long since been decided by the Congress and supported, enthusiastically supported by hunters and anglers in this country. I don't think this resolution is needed at this point, given the track record of Democratic and Republican presidents alike behind this tax and not proposing any other taxes on guns and ammunition. And so I would urge a red vote on this. Thank you very much.
Further discussion on this bill? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close?
I will, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Very briefly, from an article regarding what the President said this past weekend, there's seemingly little limit to what Biden wants to target when it comes to the Second Amendment, ranging from taxing gun owners or whether they want to allow gun owners to keep semi-automatic weapons. If you read the bill carefully, it talks about the taxation that is being described is being an unconstitutional infringement of our constitutional right. If you tax something to a level where only certain people can afford it or nobody can afford it, that strips us of our right. We're not talking about, pardon me, the Pittman-Robertson dollars. If you listen to the representative's words, he said that was enacted by sportsmen. It wasn't a UK shoved down our throats by an overzealous administrator who wants to tell us what we can and can't do with our guns. So given the fact that we have an executive who has kowtowed so far to hard left folks who want to do whatever they can to strip us of our rights, I just say this is a good way for us to take a stand to limit whatever might be coming down the pathway from our federal government at this point in time. So I urge a green vote on House Joint Resolution 5.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Cheetah when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Joint Resolution 5 and recommend the same do pass. All in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted no.
Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Has every member voted? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 67 representatives have voted aye, 33 have voted no.
House Joint Resolution 5 has passed second reading. Members of the committee have before your consideration Senate Bill 9. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 9, introduced by Temple, a bill for an act entitled, an act providing for motorcycle lane and lane filtering. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Usher?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 9, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, Senate Bill 9 is a motorcycle safety bill. In line with Montana's DOT net zero deaths. If you read the bill, it explains the difference between lane filtering, or it tells you what lane filtering is. This is not lane splitting. If anybody here has traveled to California where they do have lane splitting, I want to make sure that everybody understands this is not that, where they're driving at 80 miles an hour and the motorcycles are weaving in and out. That is not what this bill is. Lane filtering is when you have a construction site or a traffic light and the four-wheeled traffic is driving at less than 10 miles an hour or at a stop. The two-wheel motorcyclers are allowed to go between lanes safely and get to the front. This helps, one, it helps with filtering, but it also helps because that's the number one place where motorcycles are rear-ended and are killed. With that said, I'll stand for any questions and remember that this is a safety bill to save lives. Thank you.
Discussion on the bill. Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This bill really rubs me wrong. I envision motorcycle gangs on e-bikes cutting through traffic. And I guess where I see this really adding up to something is at Glacier Park, when there's 100 cars in line waiting to get in the park, and all of us taxpaying folks in our cars are waiting there, and the other equally taxpaying people that are on motorcycles don't have time to wait in line like the rest of us. And so this would give them the authority to cut through traffic. And again, this is summertime and it's hot, and you can imagine the stress that it would create. I don't see this as working out well for Montanans. And it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with safety. It has absolutely everything to do with convenience for some people that ride motorcycles, and I find offense at siding with a particular crowd like this.
Further discussion. Representative Fern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two times is enough. This will be it, but I do have a question for the carrier.
Representative Usher, will you yield?
If it's friendly, Mr. Chair.
We'll see.
Fern.
Mr. Chair, good representative from Billings, Muscle Shell. I recall in the committee hearing we had testimony that talked about spoke to several states that allow this, and specifically Utah. Can you talk a little bit about states that allow this and maybe some of the motivation to do so and some of the additional safety issues considered for those states?
Great question. I appreciate that. I actually shortened my opening because I figured this would be an easy bill, and I wasn't going to be accused of supporting motorcycle gangs going to the front of the line to eagerly pay before anyone else. But, yes, Utah actually passed this 3 years ago, and because of this, they have found that there have been less motorcycle deaths and that the death rates are dropping. They found that similar in other states that have passed the same thing. So it is definitely a safety bill. And actually, those persons in the Senate that do ride motorcycles, none of them, actually, that I know of, ride Harley-Davidsons, which is what most of the motorcycle gangs ride. So I'll still stand by for questions.
Further discussion on this bill? Seeing none, Representative Usher, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to reiterate that, you know, Montana DOT does have the net zero, and this has proven to be a safety issue. Motorcycles do get rear-ended in pileups or traffic jams, as you may be able to call them, when we do have them, which is not very often in this state. So with that said, I ask for a due pass.
Question now arises on the motion of Representative Usher that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 9, and recommend the same be concurred in. All those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Representative Anderson?
No.
Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 71 representatives have voted aye, 29 have voted no.
Senate Bill 9 has been passed in second reading. Okay. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration how Senate Bill 90. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 90, introduced by Small, a bill for an act entitled, an act revising licensure for psychologists, allowing licensure of individuals with experience and no discipline in other jurisdictions, allowing temporary licensure for postdoctoral supervisees, repealing sections, and providing an effective date, Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Galloway?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 90, that the same recommend this, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have an awesome bill here. I was truly excited and enthused when it came to our committee. This is a bill that fixes a big problem we've had in getting some of the mental health folks that are licensed to practice in this state. All of us seem to be aware that there's quite a shortage. And basically, in the new section, it's licensure by experience. If we drop down to line 18 on the first page, it's changing the certification in this section to for five of the last preceding 7 years. Now, if we hop over to the repealer that's on the back, this is in on page 2, line 11. If we jump over to that code, it says, this is what the board used to require, has been licensed to practice psychology in the United States or Canada's jurisdiction for at least 20 years. 20 years. And then you wonder why we haven't had enough folks that are able to come to this state. Heck, most of the time, if you had 20 years in, you're probably close to having your career over. Moving this back to this shortened area is going to help us a lot and be able to get these folks licensed. So with that, I'd be willing to take any questions or and appreciate if we do pass or do concur in.
Is there a discussion on this bill? Representative Garner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a good bill, and there's a similar bill that we heard earlier that helps open up some of the licensure here so we can fill positions. We're not supplanting jobs. It's very important for counseling and mental health, and particularly the longer I spend in the legislature, the more important I think this bill is. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill. I have a friend that is a retired military psychiatrist, retired here in Montana, and wanted to open up a practice. And we all know how desperate we are for mental illness facilities to be here. He's an excellent psychiatrist. And for every one psychiatrist, he said he needs five psychologists. And so he went to his military friends that he's known through his military career and asked if they'd come to Montana, and they were going to start this clinic in Great Falls. And when they found out that they had to be 20 years in practice, they all declined. They just couldn't get licensed here in Montana, and so they moved to Utah. Now, we could have had an excellent facility here in Montana, but because of this licensure problem, we missed out. We don't want that to happen again in the state of Montana. We need these professionals to help us with our suicide crisis and our mental health crisis in our state. Vote green. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Cheetah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wonder if the representative in seat 15 would yield to a question.
Representative Garner, would you yield?
Not a chance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, with the Representative Galloway, would you like to close on your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So, like I say, this is a pretty awesome bill, and I really encourage you to vote green. And I'd just like to say we may have trouble getting you in to be checked out if you fail to vote for this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Question now arises on the motion of Representative Galloway that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 90, it be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman-Pena has voted aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye.
Senate Bill 90 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, have before your consideration Senate Bill 110. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 110, introduced by Osmundson, a bill for an act entitled, an act authorizing the Governor and the Commissioner of Higher Education to suspend the employer contribution for state employee group benefits, amending sections, providing for contingent voidness, and providing an effective date and a termination date. Mr. Chair.
Representative McCamey, what's your pleasure?
Mr. Chair, I move when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 110, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Mr. Chair.
Representative McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee of the whole, this Senate Bill 110 authorizes both the Governor and the Commissioner of Higher Education to suspend employer contributions into the respective health plans for a period of 2 months in fiscal year 2022. Savings generated from the contribution suspension to the state employee health care are $27.9 million of all funds, of which $11.4 million is general fund. In addition, savings from the contribution suspension for the university system health care plan is a total of $8.9 million of all funds, of which $4 million is general fund. While funds that are already in the health funds cannot be removed, we can save money by stopping the inflow of funds into the accounts, just as we did in 2002 special session for the state employee plan. This bill proposes to stop the inflow of employer contributions for 2 months for both the state employee plan and the university employee plan. Employee contributions will continue to be paid into the funds. Health plans are required to maintain a minimum level of reserves to ensure solvency. Both plans have reserves above the required minimums. These reserves have been accumulated by sound management of the plans, innovative cost savings measures, and some impact due to COVID-19. After the 2 month suspension of employer, both plans will remain in strong reserve position. Mr. Chair, I urge a do concur of this bill.
Discussion on this bill. Seeing no discussion on the bill, would the sponsor like to close? The sponsor has closed. Question now arising on the motion of Representative McCamey that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 110, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in the favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Are there any absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Whiteman Pena has voted aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 82 representatives have voted aye. 18 have voted no.
Senate Bill 110 has passed second reading. The Chair recognizes Majority Leader Venton.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You have heard the motion of Majority Leader Venton. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes have it, and so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, we are Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, recommend as follows.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion to adopt the committee report. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 95 representatives have voted aye. One has voted no.
The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Lenz. Order of business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 202, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled Make Certain Special Hunting Licenses Once in a Lifetime Harvest.
House Bill 202, having been read three several times, the question is, shall the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Stewart-Paragoy. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 54 representatives have voted aye, 45 have voted no.
House Bill 202 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 217, introduced by Buttry, a bill for an act entitled Provide for Licensure of Genetic Counselors.
House Bill 217, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye, those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 74 representatives have voted aye, 25 have voted no.
House Bill 217 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 220, introduced by Putnam, a bill for an act entitled Allow Special District to Receive Funds from Federal Revenue Sharing Programs.
House Bill 220, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye, those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 57 representatives have voted aye, 42 have voted no.
House Bill 220 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 260, introduced by Burgley, a bill for an act entitled Revised Non-Resident Fishing License Fees.
House Bill 260, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye, those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 98 representatives have voted aye. One has voted no.
House Bill 260 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 282, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled Revised Labor Laws Relating to the Employment of Minors.
House Bill 282, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Stewart-Paragoy.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 90 representatives have voted aye, 9 have voted no.
House Bill 282 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 67, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Pertaining to Law Enforcement.
Senate Bill 67, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative, has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 72 representatives have voted aye, 27 have voted no.
Senate Bill 67 has been concurred in.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 112, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled Revised Construction Laws.
Senate Bill 112, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye, those opposed will vote no. Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 74 representatives have voted aye, 25 have voted no.
Senate Bill 112 has been concurred in.
That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 110, Revised State Employee and Youth System Health Plan Laws for Temporary State Share Holiday, to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered. Order of business number 10, unfinished business.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 11, special orders of the day.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 12, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Marler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I should have done this earlier, but may I be off the record and out of the journal for the purposes of an invitation?
So ordered.
I wanted to let people know that the Sportsman's Caucus is meeting this Thursday at noon in 303, which is the old Supreme Court chambers. This is a bipartisan group. It includes both chambers. It is co-ed, and everyone is welcome. This is for a group of folks who enjoy hunting, fishing, trapping, Hopefully we're going to get together for some ice fishing now that it's been cold. Well, not Thursday at noon, but please come to the caucus meeting.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Natural Resources, room 172 at 3.
Representative Lenz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Human Services at 3 o'clock today.
Representative Custer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Local Government tomorrow, 3 p.m.
Representative Beattie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section E will meet tomorrow at 8:30 and 472 for executive action.
Representative Cashmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Ag tomorrow at 3 o'clock, 137.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Appropriation, 5 bills upon adjournment.
Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Energy today at 3 o'clock. Mr. Speaker, may I rise on a point of personal privilege?
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, I now realize that disco rocks.
Representative Holmland.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section C will meet tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. In room 317C, we will begin executive actions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Transportation Committee meets at 3 o'clock today at room 455.
Representative Burgley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education, 3 o'clock, room 137, 4 bills.
Representative McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. State Administration will be meeting tomorrow, 9 a.m. in House in room 455. In room 455, 2 bills.
Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sticking with the theme of the day, in Section D, we're staying alive. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, 317A.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There is no House Taxation Committee tomorrow. The next House Tax meeting will be Wednesday, February 17th, 8 a.m. 2 bills. Thank you.
Representative Matt Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section B will meet Thursday at 8 a.m.
Representative Jed Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Legislative Administration Committee will meet tomorrow, noon, 152, 1 bill.
Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Section F will meet Wednesday, 8:30 a.m., final executive action.
Representative Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary, 8 a.m. tomorrow, room 137.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Business and Labor tomorrow morning at 8:30 for some bills, and I'd like to have a point of personal privilege.
So ordered.
Mr. Speaker, in our lives we have opportunities of finding our soulmate. Some of us do and some of us don't. Some of us will and some of us may not. Sometimes when we find those soulmates and a year goes by, it's called an anniversary. And it's a privilege that we can have that. Sometimes it's a lot of years that go by and we have anniversaries. We're all in here probably have anniversaries. So today I'd like to wish us all happy anniversary, but specifically my seatmate to my left here in seat 82, who's had a hard day last week or a few days that were kind of rough and missed the opportunity on Valentine's Day to be with her sweetheart. So I'd just like to wish her a happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn and reconvene Tuesday, the 32nd legislative day at 1 p.m.
You've heard the motion, Majority Leader Vinton. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House will convene at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, February 16th. The House is adjourned.